So what is the criterion? If a man has become such, he's grafted with the Guru, I'll give you a criterion. Put the same question to the Guru and the same question to the disciple. He's living 100 miles away. He will reply the same words, in the same words. There are 1 and 2 and 2 is 1. This is what meant by Guru Mukha. Such like people are chosen by God to continue all this work. So all masters say the same thing, you see. So devotion to the Guru is the first step. And those who become one with Him, they become one with the Lord. Because with whom you become one, He is one with God, so naturally you are one with God. This is the simplest way of realizing God. Most easy. So you can see this point being at home, just think to explain these things. Painter of one country came to another country and presented himself to the king of that country that he knows from painting. He's very expert in painting. Let us give us some time to show our art in painting. So king allowed him one side of the hall, big hall, all you work on it. The painters of the same country came up here, sir, we also know this art. Would you kindly allow for some art to try to represent our own art? All right. They put a screen in the middle of the hall so that one man cannot see the other. When there's competition, naturally nobody allows anybody else to see that what he is doing. He may copy. So they began to work in their own way. King was visiting now and then. He was seeing the men who have come from the other country, they were doing something daily. On the other side, the men were not doing anything. After a month when that painting was ready, they invited him to kindly visit. Our art is ready now, you may kindly see. When he came, he was wonderful, very good. Beautiful painting, very astonishing also to his mind. Then the other requested, if you kindly look about what we have done, when the skins were taken off, to great astonishment, amazement of the king, the same very painting that was on the other wall. He was seeing all through the month, they had done nothing. And more, there are, in that painting, there are blemishes here, there, somewhere. That very blemishes are not there. So King asked, what has he done? The sir, we have done nothing. We have firmly rubbing the wall so that that can reflect. You understand what is meant by Guru Mahima? When all thoughts except the Guru remain, nothing there. All thoughts are rubbed out. This is meant by Guru Mahima. That is why I place you all in the whole, that not two-thirds, but everything, I will say. You reflect everything of the Guru in you, if you become Guru Mukha. Guru Mukha means to become the mouth of peace of the Guru. And God then is the mouth of peace of God. So I will tell you, and I'll quote you something from the original sayings of the Master. These words of the Master are with us, for our guidance. See? Now we see how can we find the guidance of such a way. How can we find it? Everybody wants. So for that Kavi replies, he says, Guru appears when the child is ready. And what is readiness? One thing. He should agree. I mean, to sit at the feet of somebody. And also he should have some acting imposing. Really was Guru. If he had not got any, he should only be open that I have not got anything. Let others not be misguided. He should be true to his own self. Has he found the Guru God? If no, say no. This is the first thing. We say something, really we do not have it, this should be avoided. And we should not only boast of, we know so much this and that, but God sees within you who you are, what you are. And further, you must have the, what you say, humility to go to somebody. Generally, men, those who are puffed with knowledge, outer knowledge, they would not dare to go to somewhere. I know much, why should I go? Those who are very rich, they also don't care. We can invite such people at our homes. Those are in power. Therefore, we can, why do we need all this? So if we is humility, then only we go. Now what we should do, if you want really after God, then what we should do? We know whatever we know. Go to hear him what he says. What your learning is done, not take away anything. Simply hear what he says. He may have said to say something else, other than that's what you know. If a glass is put under a tumbler of water, beneath, underneath, naturally that glass is full of water. If you put the glass above the tumbler of the water, how can you? So these qualifications, when there are, naturally all men can derive good benefit. So, we have to look to our heart. Really we want? We do say, when we come in the time of Christ and the time of Guru Nanak, such and such, Shahid or Dhanay, how can we have these things? He says, you should be, must be true to your heart. Do you want it really? Then you surely have it. Guru appears on the chair and says, where is God? God is also residing within this man body, controlling us in the man body. He sees what really after. He sees the very trend of our mind going where. When he sees the child is yearning for me, cannot live without me, he makes some arrangement where he is manifest to bring me in contact with them. A man with eyes, the man who has got no eyes, how can he catch a man with eyes? It is only God makes arrangement, some or other, to bring in contact with the one who is yearning for him, to manifest the same God which already is there, but to manifest, give a demonstration of it. So Guru Ram Das prayed, O God, give me such a guru, such a master, who is Paras. Paras means there is a stone which is touched with any metal, that metal is turned into gold. O God, give me the contact of such a guru. By coming in contact with which we may become gold. You see, what prayer is held by God? When what you, your heart, your brain and your mouth agree, what you wish at the heart, that is given through the mouth, and the same you think, that is true. When these three things agree, that is the true prayer. So he prayed, that my prayer was granted. And what happened? So I met with such a guru that he did not only make a gold, but he made him the very himself, Paras. Paras is a stone which is in touch with many form of metal that turns into gold. He did not turn into gold, but he made him the very stone itself. So what I was, he said, I was near the crust, Langar, what is that? You see, that I was. I was not even met. So God grants what you want. He has your thought. Even now, what do people see and what such a man who wants to meet God? We generally, you see, after the pleasures of this world or the pleasures of the other world or of the heaven or the third make on so many higher planes, such a man does not want anything except to meet God. That's a ruling passion in him to see God. They don't want from God even the salvation. They want to have a divine beautiful, divine look. It so happened once that Lord Krishna was away from the gopis for some time. They were very much pining over his separation, going away from them for some time. She was crying, panting, and Lord Krishna sent his devotee, the name by Udo, go and tell them, well, Lord is within you. The word Krishna means that comes from the root Kiri. Kiri means we near to soul, God. Then the God is also resides in you, He is the controlling power within you. Why you feel so much separation and cry? So he went, explained all this very beautiful talk he gave to the gopi. They said, look here, Udo, whatever you do is all right. Now tell us, with all these things, our eyes are hungry, hungry to see that very blessed face of Lord Krishna. Is there any remedy for it? With all this lecture you help us? So those who are really after God, God must meet them. He will make some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where is manifest. So what our condition is, we are under great delusion. That delusion starts from the body. Because we are having the body, we become identified with the body. We work on the level of the body. That's a great delusion. Body is made of matter which is changing every moment of life. And the world around us is also made of matter changing at the same speed the whole body is changing. As we are identified with the body, that appears to the station. This is a great grand delusion. So everybody under that delusion. Learned or the unlearned boss. So if you enter any cottage which is full of smoke, see, then what will happen? Your clothes will be affected, become smoky, black. So this is our condition. Oh, unless we rise above body consciousness, we cannot evade all this outer deception. We start from the body itself. But those who are really after God, you see, he meets the Guru. What does the Guru do? He takes him out of the box of the body. These things impress through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the mouth, through the skin. All these impressions come from outside, you see. Unless he rises above that level, he cannot evade these things. So, Guru's first step is to take him out of the box of the body, give him the mask, open the single eye with him to see the light of God. You rise above the level of the outward faculties, naturally, outward impressions won't affect you. So those who have met the Guru, and they're living up to what the Guru says, they evade all these things. One master says, he says, oh God, you have put an arm flank and put it in the stream of the water of the stream. Again you say, look here, don't let your clothes be not wet. How can they turn wet? We are on a plank right now, sitting, going with the steam, water of the steam. Naturally, visible affection. The only way to escape ourselves from these outward impressions is to rise above body count. That is the foremost, first step of spirituality. When the world philosophy ends, there the religion starts. Religion means reach back, leisure to bind. He says, such like people, they live in the world. Ducks remain in the water, you see, but they're not, whenever they fly quite dry. They are in the world, yet not in the world, yet out of it. Their boat of life is in the water, but water of the steam is not in the boat. That's the difference. This is what is true disciples get from the mind. So Kavi says, only then you consider that you have met really a master, you have followed it, if you lose all attachment. All physical ailments do not pinch you. If any heavenly disaster come up, you are ready to go. When you find these three things within you, think that you have become really a disciple. Not at all. See what is awaiting you. Wonderful life. But that starts from keeping the commandments of the Master. That devotion to the Guru. So that is why, you see, Master comes to give us. He gives an example. One a tree of Chandra. Chandra is a tree, you see, very perfume giving, you see. They give only some cooling effect. And it is said this poison snake, they are just inserting down the stem of that tree to get cool. He says we have to want to take that wood, you see. How can we have juice of that tree, which is encircled by all snakes, poisonous snakes? Then he says there's only one way to cut the snake with the sword and then help. Now this manifestation of God, it is all that tree, you see. It's all God personified. And Maya, delusion, is encircling the whole world. Because we see from the level of the man body, that's a great delusion. When you rise above it, only can do. But how to rise above body consciousness? Some master will give you a way up. So that's the way to be out of this great delusion, you see. He said, what is the effect? Says there are heaps of wood stacked, and you put little fire to the whole, all are consumed to little few little ashes. Similarly said, if you come to contact with the God man, he gives you contact with the water and the thread of life within you, by coming the light of God and that nada of God, the music of the spheres, by coming in contact with that, what happens? All your sins of the past life, maybe hundreds, when you come in contact, all those sins are washed away if you get a little spark of light within you by the mind. As fire, all these heaps of wood are burned down to ashes, similarly, all our heaps, unlimited sins of the past can be turned to ashes if you get a little of the light which is given by the Master and you come in contact with that. So now he says, Then who is a sadhu? Who is a master? Who is? He says, he is the one in which God is manifest. He is world made flesh. His name, Naam, manifested in us. What is the result? When you come in contact with Him, or come within the, what you say, area of field of action of the radiation which comes out of the Master, that enables you to see God. By radiation, because the world made flesh, each man has radiation of his own, or whatever within him that's radiated outside. And you know that God is manifest, light and sound, which will you sit within the area of that radiation, you will have the same effect with you. You will begin to see God. So for that to say, if you come in contact with Him and sit within the radiation of the Master, then you begin to see God. One by radiation. When you go to a man who uses, sells all these perfumes, he doesn't give you anything, even you have got perfume all free. Because the atmosphere charged with perfume. And if you sit by Him, and He gives you a little fire of scent then, this is something like that. He says, always have the company of such. How can you get, I just told you, how can you come in contact with such a guru appears when the kid is ready. But those who are cut off from God, from within, don't have their company. They're just like knotted thread with the knot in the thread, you see. Can you take out any thread and weave a cloth? No. Those who have not seen God, you see, however intellectual may be, they cannot give you this thing. So for that thing, the advice is, okay, company of a manifest God in man is what is needed, and what will affect is radiating that He will begin to react within you. Even by sitting you get the radiation, you have the perfume, and He gives you something contact from within, you have become the same Paras. Now He says what to do, what is the remedy for all that. He says that God resides in you. That wonderful water of life, bread of life is within you. He gives you contact with that. Open. He doesn't ask you wait till years or months or anything. He gives you something to start with on the very first day. By giving you something to start with that you have to dread from day to day. So the ultimate goal will be, you will become what He is. So everything wants his sons to become kings, not ministers. Every saint wants you to become like Him. So this is what is generally we have. For that you will find what is required. So if you get such like, I mean, company of such a saint, and what you should do, go on with it. Enjoy the full benefit of his company. So if you find such like people, natural, I think, the wish of anybody would be that we should remain in his custody, near him, within the radiation of his such a master. So Guru Ramdas tells us, O God, I pray, let him become the slave of such a master. How long? He says, until the last breath is taken. We would like to die at his feet, you see. If we find such master opportunity, we just realize all these things I have spoken to you, naturally you want we should die at his feet. So he says, so long as my breathing going on, I wish my last breath should go out at his feet. I should continue in his presence. Now you say, how can we live with the master all along? Physical presence of the master cannot be unrepressed. But if you have dwelt receptively, you can have that benefit by sitting at hundreds and thousands of miles from him. Wireless, you see, wireless telegraphy. It is what you. The very thing is going on there. So Kabir says, if your master is living across seven oceans and you are sitting on this side, direct your attention to him. There should nothing remain between you and him. And you know, by television you see, by radio you hear, from thousands of miles, you become receptive. I gave you the criteria of one who has become like that, Guru man. You ask the same question from the Guru and you ask the same question from the disciples, you see. They have said, uttered the same words, because they are one and two is one. Now you follow what is meant by discipleship. What is meant by real initiate. So says, they prepared for it. He says, this is the thing what is Shankar, the greatest man of knowledge in the history of the Rishi. He also wanted that. First he believed, soul is God and God is soul, in all respects. Then he says, God is, soul is a part of it. Then ultimately, he turned to be worshipper of an incarnation, where the God of manifest. So this, as he says, I have prayed Guru Ramdas says, because even the Shankar, the most intelligent man in the world, wanted it. He says, even the Narada, who is considered the king of all devotees, of bhakti yoga, he also wanted all this. And he also believed to be, that is on the support of by some power, you see, that is being carried out. So there is a story, both parables go to demonstrate certain things. What is that parable? That is one, you see, Vishisht, he was a devotee of the satsang. He knew this knowledge. What is had by the contact with the God. And the other was who was, had 50,000 years of penances which he had undergone. He had very great power too. So both had to talk with each other. They said the penances, the highest thing to be followed. And Vishesh said, no, only come in contact with the Guru. That is the highest thing. Nobody could decide, only that parable goes, they went to Brahma, the creator of the world. They put this question, which is greater of the two? Penances are the contact with the saint. They say both are very strong people, they would not listen to my words. Then he went to Vishnu. He also heard the same thing. He said, well, they are very strong people, both of them, they sent it to Shiva. Shiva also, I don't see, it's a very great tangle, I would not be able to solve it, and he sent it to the power which is taking, supporting all creation, this world. They went to him. Well, our question is, which is higher, the company of the saints, or the parents in them, at the physical level, or planet level? He said, well, dear friend, I've got a great burden of the whole earth over my head, just take off for a while so that I may come around, and decide, hear you and decide your point. Now, Vishesh told him, as I mean, all right, now try your luck. You've got so much power of the penance, 60,000. He put in something of 20,000, 40,000. The earth could not rise above over the head. Then he put in all 60,000 power, years power, penance is done. The earth little lifted from the head, again sat down on the head. He says, decide, you know, what should I decide? It's already again there. Then the Vishesh said, look here, I give the only what I've gained. You see, what power an hour or so, what I've gained in the company of the saints. Then the result was the earth lifted above the head and stayed there. Then decide, the question decides. It means what gives you the company of the saints that you cannot have by putting hundreds of years in prayer.
Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of an evening talk called Devotion to the Guru. It was given on November 10, 1972 in Vancouver, Canada. Our reader this morning is Eileen Picorni. Hello, Eileen.
Good morning, everyone. This morning we will be reading a talk by Master to Mildred Pendergrast. She was the Master's representative in Boston, and it was given at Sawan Ashram on February 15, 1966. It was also published in the October 1971 edition of Satsandesh. The title is The Fruit and Its Casing. It starts, "Dear Millie, now you are going back to your home, worldly home. I would like you to convey my message to my brothers and sisters over there. Tell them that God power or the master power is always with the initiates. And once that power takes over the charge of any soul, that power never leaves him until the end of the world. The work of the master is just to take the soul to the lap of Satpurush, and from there, the Satpurush takes the soul to the absolute God in stages. They are fortunate over there to have had such master power working over their heads. The criterion of a master is that he should be able to give first-hand experience of rising above body consciousness. That is the only outer criterion that you can have. And if one can give some personal experience like that, then I think that he also can be considered capable of leading you further. Tell them over there that they are on my mind. If they remember me, the reaction is there. I do remember them. It is the master who first loves us. Our love for him is only reciprocal. I wish them to lead a very righteous life, full of good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. Let these words of wisdom reflect in their physical life and not simply be repeated by lips. The initiates should remember the master and actively live up to what he says. For that purpose, the initiates have been given self-introspection diaries, which they should maintain regularly and scrupulously. By this means, they will be, at least, remembering the master's enjoiners during the day. If they don't keep their diaries, they will simply forget to act up to what they've been told. So this is the one good of keeping the diary. Moreover, when master initiates someone, he resides with him. He watches all his actions, guides him further where it is needed, especially those who turn their faces to him. If you do forget, he does not forget. Recently, I had a mind to go to Europe, but for some reason or another, I could not go. When the foreign tour program is prepared, there is hope. God willing to see all of them over there personally. One thing they might be told, one and all, is that this corporation And this is referred to the incorporation of Master's work in the U.S., which has taken place about a year before this talk was given. The corporation arrangement is only for management. Spirituality cannot be incorporated. So this corporation is not for organizing spirituality. For spirituality, all are directly under me. For the purpose of management, those who are in charge over there, including one and all, are all to simply see that management goes on all right. As regards to the rules and regulations that have already been made, some people are under the impression that this corporation is only a worldly corporation, which is not correct. At the time of our master, at first, when there wasn't many initiates, and when there were still only a few groups operating, there was no need for any corporation. And so there were no rules or provisions for management. But now there are many groups all over the world. About 71 centers are working in the United States, East, West, and South, and in Canada and South America. Some formation is considered absolutely necessary for the management of and coordination of all of them. It may, however, be mentioned that in the time of Hazur, there were some roles to go by in Baez and at other places where satsangs were carried on, although the groups were not registered under the government. Now, at Baez, there is a regular registered body to carry on the work. To those who are under the impression that this is a corporation that's meant only for the control and material gain, I would say no. I would think there is no control and no profit making as with other corporations. This corporation is only to ensure that communications and temporal affairs among the satsangis go quite amicably. And about some other issues, I have already written to them. For an example, if there are any rules and regulations which appear to be unworkable and harsh, I told them to just put their heads together and simplify them the best they can so that there may be no difficulty in the operation. I am not after hard and fast rules, but simply that all should be able to sit together and cooperate together as one body at one place, and others who for some reason or another are not cooperating should be induced to take part to join them. If there is any inclination to supply anything, for an example, circulars and books and so forth, the corporation is there for their convenience. Suppose I should like to convey something to all the brothers and sisters there. I will convey it to one center, which will convey such material to all the members attending the satsangs, and also to those who are not attending the satsangs. It may be mentioned that here that all representatives and others who met at Washington and Chicago on my last tour there, decided to have a corporation, which later on came into being. The corporation is only meant for this purpose. If there is a fruit, then to see the kernel, we need some casing. Even nature provides for that. If the casing is not there, the fruit is spoiled. So inner spiritual work remains safe only if it is conducted with a little casing. The casing is required only when we have to keep the pure inner kernel in its natural state. If there is no casing, then the fruit is spoiled in a day. Some have referred to my master that when he was asked once, he said that no corporation was required. Well, at that time, there were only a few initiates, and as a consequence, there was no need of them. If a small group of initiates makes a beginning, and after a while this small beginning expands to so many centers all over the United States and everywhere, then there must be some casing to ensure that the activity goes on all right. If then there is any complaint, such as non-supply of books and so forth, it may be handled expeditiously. For example, I have already suggested that books should be printed in India and supplied from there in the requiring quantity. So naturally, these people in the centers over there have to carry on the work in a business-like way. When these centers are working under corporation, they have to abide by certain rules. Even here, I have a kind of corporation duly registered under government law. I have to submit all accounts to the registrar to be duly audited by authorized auditors. So naturally, we all have to keep the accounts. There is no growling here about their calling for current financial accounts. And for instance, how many books we have sold or how the selling of books is managed. Such questions are naturally, you see. Such information is only for management's sake. So I tell them clearly that I have love for them from the very core of my heart. How can a father or mother forget his children? Can he? Never. The children might forget, might go astray, but the father cannot forget the children. Even the lost child is accepted, you see. So I have love for them all. One thing especially that I would like to convey to them over there is that upon the spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. We develop physically and intellectually, yet with all that, we are not happy, and we cannot be happy. We give food to the physical body, and we are physically strong. We give food to the intellect, but what about the food we are given as a bread of life to the soul? The soul is a conscious entity. The bread of life, or the water of life, can only be a conscious thing. And that is God. And where is God? God is the very controlling power keeping us in the body. So we have to contact him. I will give you an instance from the Hindu parables of how this is. Sometimes you see masters give talks straight. Sometimes they give talks through parables. Parables are more effective sometimes, you see. So with the Hindus, there is a parable that says that Lord Shiva was residing at the top of the hill, and there was one Parvati who wanted to marry him. Some other people there asked her, "Well, what are you after?" She says, "I'm only after marrying Shiva. Even if it may take millions of births, I must meet him, for he is the solace of my heart." So this is the parable to illustrate some point. What does this parable mean? The word Parvati means one living on a mountain. And what is that one? That one is our own self, our soul. The seat of the soul is at the top of the mountain of the body, just at the back of the eyes. And also located there is the very controlling power, the true husband of our soul, God. Waiting for her. So soul cannot find rest until she finds the oversoul. Ever since the soul has been sent down to the world, she has not gone back to him. Otherwise, you would have been in another state of affairs. Soul says, "I will try my utmost for years and years, hundreds of years, and will not rest until I find him." So our soul is the same essence as that of God. Ever since it has been sent to the world, it has not gone back so far. So soul cannot find rest until it meets the oversoul, God. This situation is what the parable is to show. So we are all embodied souls. All religions concern our bodies. Social and political affairs concern our bodies only. And soul is concerned with God only. We may remain in any society, in any religion, observing any outer forms of rituals or anything we have customarily followed. And we can continue to follow them. But soul has now been identified with the body. so much so that it has forgotten itself. Unless the soul is analyzed and withdrawn from the body and comes to its seat at the back of the eyes and gets some self-awareness or self-knowledge, she cannot know the Oversoul or have God knowledge. So self-knowledge precedes God knowledge. All masters who came in the past have given out as the prerequisite that we should know our own self. We are conscious beings, not physical bodies. We are wearing these bodies only. All of these outer religions are schools of thought in which we are joined to know ourselves and to know God. We have never been without Him. He has all along been with us. We are living in Him just like a fish lives in the water. The water is never away from the fish. The very life of the fish is water. So our very life is God, the controlling power, which keeps us in the body. So unless we know our own self, we cannot taste the kernel within. You may remain in any religion you like, because religions are only concerned with the outer forms. They are the casings only, I would say. We are to dip into this casing. We can taste the kernel by the only way that exists, by contacting the one in whom God is manifest. God resides in every heart, but God is not manifested in every man body. That same God, which is manifest at the man body of the living master, resides in us too. But as we are identified with the body, we cannot get a glimpse of Him unless we rise above body consciousness. The one in whom God is manifested has the competency by virtue of the God in Him to withdraw our souls from outer concerns. The outgoing expression of the soul is the attention called the surat. That surat is withdrawn from the outside first. The man body is the temple of God into which we have to enter first. We live in the body, and who we want is also living in the body and is the controlling power keeping us in the body. The one who has got that control over the attention is truly self-centered. The whole body machinery works at his beck and call. Such a person, when he is met, has the competency or the power in him to enable us to withdraw from the outside and enter the physical body and to raise us into the beyond. That power is called the master power. That power is also within us. Just as the rays of the sun don't burn us, but if we pass them through a convex lens, they will burn anything at the focus of the other side of the lens. In a similar manner, that very power of the master is within us too. But our attention is dispersed outward by being identified with the body and outside things. If we withdraw that attention and go within to the seat of the soul in the body and become the mouthpiece of the controlling power, God, we can work wonders. So that soul which has manifested God has great power and has become the mouthpiece of the Oversoul. Then what can such a soul not do? God, with one word of His, created the whole world and the soul, which is the drop of ocean of all consciousness. Since we are of the same essence as that of God, we also have great power, but that power is frittered away by going outside, by identifying with the outside things. So with the grace of God, tell them over there that they have been put on the way. Some experience is given to them at the time of initiation, and they have to develop spiritually by regular practice and with due regard to how they pass their days by self-introspection. Consider the parable of the seed given by Christ. The seed was sown. Some seed fell on the ground. Some fell in the thorny hedges. Some fell on the rocks, and some seeds fell on the quite clear land, which had been divested of all foreign matter. That seed, which fallen on the hard open ground, or the road, is eaten away by the sparrows. The seed that was thrown on the rocks, grown, but there is no depth of soil beneath such seeds, and little by little, such growth fades away, and naturally those seeds which fell in the thorny hedges will grow, but they can't fully grow. They're retarded. And any seed which fell in the quite prepared land will grow abundantly. If you put one seed in of anything, that will give you hundreds of seeds like that. For instance, you put a mango in the ground, and that will give a tree which will give you hundreds of mangoes. So there is an abundance in nature. This parable then shows what? The seed is the contact with the light and sound principle, which is the expression of word or nam in the hearts of the initiates. For those who simply take it, the negative power uses it up because they never put in the time for that. Although they are given the seed is sown in them. But as they do not put in time at all, and they don't care, after initiation, the seed is lost. Concerning those seeds that fall on the rocks and beneath which there is little or no underlying soil, after initiation, that seed should be fed by the satsangis. For if those seeds are not watered by satsangis, you see, naturally they fade away. They also don't grow. They come for a few days and then leave it. So that is why I tell people, leave hundreds of urgent works to attend the satsangs. Those seeds that fell in the thorny hedges won't grow there, encumbered by the distracting thoughts and other kinds of hedges. They are just like those who have too many irons in the fire. They have no time to attend to these things. They say they have no time. Such people also don't grow. Only such a seed, which has fallen in the quite prepared land, grows fruit in abundance. So you will find that the purpose of this diary, which I have always enjoined to be kept, is to weed out all imperfections from the soil of the heart. Those who keep the diary regularly, who put in time regularly, naturally they progress. If they are not progressing, there is something wrong somewhere, which is explained to you by just referring to this parable given by Christ. However, they are all dear to the Master, I tell you. Those who have got the seed are fortunate, for that seed cannot be burned away. That seed must grow, and if they have not put any time in this physical life of the man body, naturally they will have to come back. But they won't come back below the man body. That is the only concession they can have. Why not put in time, grow now, and finish this returning? You come in contact with the light and sound principle within, and by progressing, you are intoxicated with that. That has more bliss in it. We get more enchantment and more bliss inside, and naturally, we are withdrawn from the outside things. Such a soul can never return and lives in and it is kept in the beyond after death of the physical body. Such souls have to progress there too. But this time takes longer as compared with the time it takes in the physical body. So it is always better to develop here the most you can, so that you can straightaway go to that higher plane to which you have developed here. So tell them all that I wish them to progress. They have gotten, by the grace of Master, first-hand experience at the time of initiation. If anything goes wrong, it is due to the result of these things, as I explained. So I wish to see them, God willing, sooner or later. And I also wish them to be here with us whenever they can afford it. These people sitting over here have a great love for them, their brothers and sisters over there. There is a loving relationship between those who are initiated by a competent master, which is a permanent relationship, never dissolved at the time of death. They meet even after death. Our master used to say, when crossing a river, those who have crossed first will meet. They are on the other side, those who come next. All others follow them sooner or later. Between those who have been initiated, this is the true relation that we have been given by the Master. And this relation never ends. So they are fortunate. Convey to them over there my love. No words can express love. Love cannot be expressed in words. The love of a mother can only be known by the child who is devoted internally. Even if the child is not turning his face to the mother in his activities and playing, so forth, even then the mother cares. What for? The child must be fed, so she takes the food and forces them to eat. Similarly, it is just like my enjoining them. Put in more time, please. Develop physically and intellectually. But that is not sufficient. You must develop spiritually also. For such spiritual development, the Master always enjoins that which results in the most care for the child. So convince them over there of my love for one and all. All are dear to me. Though you are placed to carry on the work and are also dear to me, the others are not less dear to me. You observed how those speaking on television can be seen and heard over thousands of miles. So God power is also pervading everywhere. That is the very controlling power within this man body, keeping us in the body. Tell them over there that a child cannot, I think, imagine how much love the mother has for the child. Can he ever do so? I don't think so. So even if they come to know some of my love for them, perhaps they will dance in intoxication. Convey my love to them as you are going there. They are all dear to me. They must live up to what they have been told from time to time. I am sending them messages now and then, only as reminders to live up to that. Our teaching should reflect in our actions. We must be humble, sweet. A sweet word doesn't cost anything. If we are all laborers in the field of the Master, then where is the ego? A little ego enters sometimes, and that spoils the show. All this little grumbling sometimes is the result of ego. Love and all things shall be added unto you. So convey them, my love, the best you can, although I think that no words can express love. They should turn their faces this way, and I hope they will get radiation too. You have been there, so dear to us. But as a person has to go, after all, you go home with all my love and blessings. Convey my love to your dear husband as well. He is so good. Also, to the followers who are working there, and to all others. I do remember them, and think that they should live up to what they have been told, and they will progress sure and certain. Thank you. And that concludes the reading, which is entitled The Fruit and Its Casing. And it's also in the October 1971 edition of Satsang Desh. Thank you, dear Master, for all your blessings.
And thank you, Eileen, for reading Master's gracious words. There were 80 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of devotion to you.
So our Master tells us like that. They say you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you.